Gyanam tvat tvarta darshanam enanjasa tarishnyamo dustaram bhavasagaram tanna pradyotaya dhyatma gyanam tvat tvarta darshanam Yenanjasa tarishyamo Dustaram bhavasagaram
Mothers. Tat, therefore, na, for us, Rodyotaya, kindly awaken, Adhyatma, transcendental, Gyanam, knowledge, Tatva, absolute truth, Artha,
for the purpose of darshanam, philosophy, yena, by which anjasa, easily, tarishyama, we can cross over dustaram, formidable, bhavasagaram, the ocean of nescience. Translation, poor Purbashila Prabhupada ki jai. Translation, dear Master, kindly enlighten us in transcendental knowledge, which may act as a torchlight by which we may cross the dark nescience of material existence. Purport, the Prachetas requested Narada to enlighten them in transcendental knowledge. Generally, when a common man meets a saintly person, he wishes to get some material benediction. However, the Prachetas were not interested in material benefit, for they had enjoyed all this sufficiently, nor did they want the fulfillment of their material desires. They were simply interested in crossing the ocean of nescience. Everyone should be interested in getting out of these material clutches. Everyone should approach a saintly person in order to be enlightened in this connection. One should not bother a saintly person to get blessings for material enjoyment. Generally, householders receive saintly persons to get their blessings, but their real aim is to become happy in the material world. Asking such material benedictions is not recommended in the Shastras. Srila Prabhupada ki. Om Agyantmirandasya Giranjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Litam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vanchakalpaturubhyascha Kripa Sindubhyarevacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So the Prachetas are Narada Muni has just arrived, and the Prachetas are receiving Narada Muni. They observed proper etiquette and seeing that he was seated properly, etc. And then they honestly admitted they're having forgotten the instructions of their spiritual master, Shiva, due to the contamination of householder existence. Materialistic householder existence is very dangerous, we were hearing. So they had forgotten the instructions of the spiritual master. So they're asking Narada Muni to again enlighten them in transcendental knowledge. Dustaram Bhavasagaram. The material world is Dustaram, very difficult to cross over. Bhavasagaram. Bhavasagaram means the ocean of material existence. So no one can cross the ocean of material existence by grabbing hold of a tail of a dog. This example is given in Bhagavatam. I don't know how they came up with that image. But if you're trying to cross over the ocean, you grab the tail of a dog, that's not very intelligent. So it is very difficult to cross over due to the material concept of life, the bodily concept of life. Very difficult to give up such a conception. Therefore, dustaram bhavasagaram. Therefore, we're asking you to be kind upon us, pradyotaya, kindly awaken with us, adhyatmagyanam, transcendental knowledge by which we can easily cross over the material ocean. We need the easiest thing you got, because of our contamination of material life. So Srila Prabhupada is mentioning a simple point here, which we'll focus on, and then we'll end class early. We need the devotees are requested to help out with cut up after the class, and everyone is also requested by Nityananda Prabhu, at least the temple devotees, to remain in the temple and attend all the sessions of the seminar. So no one should go and do their own program today. So, simple point Prabhupada is making is that generally people approach saintly persons to receive some material benediction in terms of the gratification of the material mind and body. So the story there in Srila Prabhupada's Leela, you must be knowing, that one time some Prabhupada was on the train with a couple of his sannyasi disciples, Brahmananda, maybe Guru Das, one other, and they were on the train, and some in India. And some people approached Srila Prabhupada and ask Srila Prabhupada, Ashirvad, Ashirvad. Ashirvad means give some blessings. So Srila Prabhupada looked at them and he said, he pointed to Brahmananda and Guru Das. They were both sannyasis at times, saffron, you know, danda, everything. He said, this is what happened to them after they got my blessings, after they received my Ashirvad. And then they, Hare Krishna, you know, they got out of that dangerous situation as soon as possible. Another similar incident where someone approached Srila Prabhupada, again, I think it was on a train, or it was in India, I don't remember where, but he's requesting Srila Prabhupada, please shower mercy on me, shower mercy on me, show me some blessings. And Srila Prabhupada said, you don't want my blessings. No, no, Swamiji, I am wanting your blessings very much. And Srila Prabhupada said, no, you don't want my blessings. He said, no, Swamiji, please shower your mercy on me, your mercy on me. I want your blessings. And Prabhupada said, I bless you that your material life should be immediately finished. And the man like collapsed on the floor. Oh, what have I done, you know, what have I asked? So Srila Prabhupada is mentioning this point here that the tendency to approach sadhus is to get some material remuneration, some material benediction in terms of the gratification of the body and mind. But if we really want to gain from the association of sadhus, then we should approach them with non-duplicitous inquiry. That's what's being mentioned here, Srila Prabhupada is mentioning. We should approach with non-duplicitous inquiry. Not, why I say that? Because Prabhupada says here, generally householders receive saintly persons to get their blessings, but their real aim is to become happy in the material world. That's duplicitous. They're approaching, pretending to render nice service, pretending to be very humble, very innocent, very, how you say, respectful, all these things showing externally, but internally, wanting to enjoy in the material world. That is their whole aim. And by serving saintly persons, they feel that they may augment their opportunity for material sense enjoyment. Because Krishna is very kind to anyone who serves his devotees, so that maybe that way I can get some material boon like that. So this duplicitous, then you don't benefit from association with devotees if you have a duplicitous intention. Rendering service to devotees with the hope that they will glorify me, with the hope they will appreciate all the services that I'm doing. Oh, I'm such a nice devotee. And looking for that trophy of appreciation. You know, just like when you were in school, you would have competitions, and if you win some position, they give you a trophy, you know, this nice trophy. And then the young boy will put all his trophies on the shelf. So as soon as you walk into his room, you saw a room full of trophies. You know, and then he would just kind of, this is my room, you know, full of trophies. So similarly, we're looking for those trophies from saintly person. Oh, you are great. You are wonderful. I have not met anyone as humble as you, as nice as you. So externally speaking very sweetly, looking very innocent, even putting forth some questions for the purpose of showing everyone how intelligent I am. I'm putting forth some questions so the sadhu knows, oh, I am very smart, I'm very intelligent. Like that, duplicitously presenting ourselves before a sadhu, then one cannot get the mercy of a sadhu if he's going to be duplicitous like that. One should rather offer at the altar of a devotee's magnanimous nature, non-duplicitous inquiry. Then the deity of their heart will bestow mercy upon you in the form of giving transcendental knowledge, adhyatma jnana. Huh? I repeat, I'm being poetic here. I, you know, it's spontaneous poetry. That, what did I say? Repeat, pay attention, huh? First of all, hear properly. That the devotee, the one who wants to benefit from the association of sadhu, then he should approach the altar of their magnanimous nature. Devotees are very magnanimous. So I'm trying to create a visual here. So imagine their magnanimity as an altar. When you come to the altar, you're supposed to bring some offering, right? You're not supposed to come empty-handed at the altar. This is general culture, Vedic culture. You don't come empty-handed to the altar. Therefore, what people do, they go across the street and buy some milk and come in, you know? They don't struggle hard to find anything. They just drive to the temple, go across the street to the Mexican store, buy some half-rotten bananas and some milk and then put it on the altar. You know, anyway, you know, do something. At least they brought something. And we're not bringing anything. We should at least offer our life. So devotees, we're coming empty-handed, right? No. Prana artha diyavacha. We should be offering our life, wealth, intelligence, and words to the deity. So generally, you come to the altar to bring some offering. And that way, people hope to receive some blessings from the deity. So we should offer to the altar of a devotee's magnanimous nature, non-duplicitous inquiry. And then the deity of their gentle heart will bestow upon us blessings in the form of distributing transcendental knowledge so that we develop adhyatmagyanam, that's mentioned here. Distributing transcendental knowledge for the evolvement of our spiritual life. What is a non-duplicitous inquiry? Ultimately, it's an inquiry about how to cross over the ocean of material existence. That is what's mentioned here. Anjasa tarishyamo dustaram bhavasaganam. This is non-duplicitous inquiry. Ultimately, it's an inquiry about self-realization. Even when the tendency in the conditioned state is to present questions only on the platform of how to placate the disturbances of the body and mind. Unlimited questions about that. And in such inquiry, even if we shall get an answer, it is deceptively pleasing. Sometimes you have some problem with the mind, so you ask a question just about how to curb the disturbances in the mind. And you get some answer and you feel very satisfied. Oh, I got a nice answer. But then 10 minutes later, again, mind presenting new disturbance. Then again, you have a question, how to placate the mind. Then you get some answer, it is deceptively pleasing. And then 5 minutes later, another disturbance. This is a foolish thing to have, just to ask questions about how to placate the disturbances of the mind and not inquire about higher truths. Atma tattva. You know, so many tattvas are there to be discussed. Guru tattva, nam tattva, atma tattva, jiva tattva, shakti tattva. So many truths are there. And the human form of life is meant for tattva jignasa, investigation into the higher truths. So we just simply ask about questions about how to pacify the disturbances on the mental and sensual platform. Then we may get some answer, but it will only be deceptively pleasing. And we actually won't benefit from such inquiry. But if we ask such questions, but underneath that question is the intention of self-realization. That is our true intention. Not just to be satisfied for getting an answer in the body and mind, but understanding that there's some disturbance in the body and mind and it's blocking my progressive movement. Therefore, inquiring so I can progress in self-realization. That's non-duplicitous inquiry. Like that. That means the purpose is self-realization. Anjasa tarishyamo dusaram bhavasagaram. I'm desiring to cross over the ocean of material existence and, you know, evolve my spiritual, my constitutional position in relationship with Krishna. This is the most important thing. Otherwise, simply wasting time putting forward questions to sadhus. It has to be a question about self-realization. This is the most important thing. So therefore, it is mentioned that devotees, like it's being mentioned here, they bestow upon living entities divine eyes. Santa Dishanti Chakshushmi Bahir Arkas Mutitaha Devata Bandava Santa Santa Atma Aham Evacha. This is a very nice verse in the Bhagavatam. It says that the devotees of the Lord, Santa Dishanti Chakshushmi, they bestow divine eyes. They bestow divine eyes upon the living entities. Whereas Bahir Arkas Mutitaha, whereas the sunlight only provides vision of external things, and that too when risen high in the sky. Huh? Understand that? When the sun rises high in the sky, it bestows vision of external objects. That's it. But devotees can bestow divine eyes, divya gyan, by giving divya transcendental knowledge. Therefore, the devotees are devata bandhava santa santa atma ahamivacha. Therefore, the devotees are one's worshipable deities, devata. They are one's mandava, real family. They are one's very self, atma. And Krishna is speaking this verse. He says, they are even my very self. So the idea here of the verse is very nice. The devotees are one's worshipable deities. What does that mean? Don't get bewildered here. It means that the deity means the object of worship or the object of service. So when it says the devotees are one's worshipable deity, it means to say, it's discussed in the purport, that the devotees are one's real object of service as opposed to the body, which is generally taken as our most worshipable deity. Right? The body is always clamoring for material sense gratification. Constantly, isn't it? We have experience. As soon as you start japa, boom, material, you know, sense gratification thoughts are popping up, you know? At least in kirtan, there's a little bit of a fighting chance, but If you want to really see where you're at in Krishna consciousness, like sometimes people ask, how do I know if, where I'm standing in Krishna consciousness? I just chant japa for 1 hour straight. And then you'll understand everything will become revealed. Just Hare Krishna, in the first round itself, before the round is complete, boom, 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 all types of materialistic thoughts coming in, and which we cannot repeat also in an open arena. This is a situation. So generally, in other words, the body is always clamoring for material sense gratification. Clamoring means making loud noise. Just like sometimes the Hindus, they have no consciousness that a discussion is going on. So they just come in and like slap the wind chime, you know, the chimes there. They just like slap it really hard, you know. And ring, 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 ring. And everyone in the class like looks what's going on. It's called a clamoring sound. A clamor, making a loud sound. So the body is always making loud disturbance. Give me sense gratification. Give me sense gratification. And because we take the body as a worshipable deity, we always acquiesce to the service of the material body. So this verse is saying that the devotees are devataha. The devotees are one's real object of service, not the body. This is important in the discussion of non-duplicitous inquiry because generally, why do we approach sadhu? Because we take the body as our deity and we're approaching the sadhu to find out how to worship the deity better. Isn't it? I want to worship the deity in a first-class way. I'm not doing first-class worship of the deity. So which bhoga should I offer to the deity? I want to know. Not this deity, this deity. The material body. How should I address the deity? Like this. The deity's mind is very disturbed. How do I pacify the deity's mind? Like this. And then approaching sadhu is just asking for this thing. And not with the real intention of developing oneself on the spiritual platform. We have our most valuable jewel when we approach sadhus is our intention. This is the most valuable jewel. What is our intention? That will reconcile all discrepancies, even when we ask foolish questions. Just like Dhruva Maharaj, what was his intention? His intention was, of course, material sense gratification. But he had some determination to worship the Supreme Lord. So he asked Narada Muni how to worship the Supreme Lord, ultimately for the purpose of material sense gratification. So Narada Muni gave him he tested him, gave him some other type of answer. And because Dhruva Maharaj was non-duplicitous, he said, that doesn't work for me, that doesn't touch my heart. So then Narada Muni could give him another type of situation. So this is a very important point. He was non-duplicitous, so he got the benefit of Narada's association, even though his intention was not perfectly pure. So that point is first must be there. We have to be thoroughly honest. Otherwise, progress is not made in Krishna consciousness. So one may ask, I've been in Krishna consciousness for so many years. Why am I not progressing? I'm hearing the vibrations of the sadhus. I'm told to hear also. I'm hearing every day. I'm hearing Srila Prabhupada's lectures. I'm hearing the classes. But still, I see nothing is happening, no transformation. I'm not changing. And this is on account of some traces of dishonesty may be there in our character. We're not revealing things. We're not telling what is the real situation. Just simply looking very innocent. You know, hearing the class like this. Very saintly, you know, very... and then after the class, oh, Prabhuji, that was very wonderful class with folded hands and all these things. And so much stuff is going on internally. But we're not telling anything to anyone. Then all of a sudden, 20 years later, devotee leaves. Oh, what happened? He was such a saintly person. This is going on. This is due to duplicity. Just like if someone is sleeping, very easy to wake them up with sound vibration. Very easy. But if someone is pretending to sleep, then no one can wake them up with any amount of sound vibration. Because they're pretending to sleep. Right? So similarly, if someone is really honest person, is in ignorance, but he's an honest person, when he hears Bhagavatam, very quickly he benefits from that hearing. But if someone is maintaining some level of crookedness internally, either due to just lack, not conscious of it, or very conscious of it also, then even though they're hearing so many classes, it doesn't act. It doesn't act. So one has to be thoroughly honest. And the intention has to be a proper intention. Ultimately, an intention for service. This is an inquiry. We have to come with questions. Parabhavas tavar bodhajato yavana jignasata atmatatvam. Those who are born into ignorance, abodhajata, Everyone in the material world is born into ignorance. And that is one problem. Then the second problem is, na jignasata atmatatvam. We have no questions. Look at our situation. We are born into ignorance. We don't know anything. And then sadhus will give class. And then after the class, everyone was perfectly understood everything. Jai, very nice class. I'm not saying that it has to be after every discussion. Generally, questions that are very effective happen in a more confidential environment, generally. If you want to be like thoroughly honest, generally you cannot tell maybe all the time in an open discussion. But no inquiry spirit, just simply sitting there in the class. And then when you go downstairs to the Prasadam Hall, everyone was speaking very politely to each other, very sweetly, having a very sweet face. But then internally, all types of nonsense will be going on, thinking bad about one another, and all these things are going on. Then what is how we will benefit? Then simply coming in a military sort of way to all the programs, but not improving our consciousness. Consciousness is still in the gutter, fault-finding and ad infinitum, etc. going on. This is going on. So one has to present proper inquiry, non-duplicitous inquiry. You know, don't just ask about the structure of the universe. You know, I have a question. I was wondering about the structure of the universe. Now that is an unimportant question, but you have like maha lesi desire, and you really need to find a solution to that. And you're asking about the structure of the universe. Like, how is that going to help you? You know, I mean, it's inquiries that can help us to improve our consciousness. That is very much required for the purpose of self-realization, non-duplicitous inquiry. So in order to do that effectively, then there has to be surrender, pranipatena. Krishna says, pranipatena pariprasna. Pariprasna means relevant inquiry. That's the second point. The first item before that is pranipata, which means submission or surrender. If one is not submissive, then how much you benefit from the questions you ask? Maybe that's one reason why we don't ask questions. Because we know anyway I'm not benefit because I'm not surrendered. So therefore, why ask anything, right? So then, okay, that might be true. Then that means we have to do something, improve ourselves, isn't it? We have to become surrendered, submissive, at least submissive. Surrender doesn't mean like the full-blown thing. Like Arjuna surrendered in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita. But was he perfectly ready to execute what Krishna said? No, he had doubts. He said, Krishna, I'm surrender unto you. But then right after he said that, in the next two verses, he said, I will not fight. You just said you were surrender unto me? Then the next verse he said, I will not fight. Oh, Govinda, he dropped his Gandivabo, sat down. So, but he was ready to hear. This thing has to be there. At least a little bit submissive. Submission meaning a desire to change my conception, seeing that my conception is not working out because I'm completely unhappy. So then, pranipata, that is required. Surrender, submission. But without faith, you cannot be surrendered. Without faith, you will not be submissive. Simply asking for the sake of asking, but we don't have faith, how surrendered can you be without faith? So we need to cultivate faith in devotees and Vaishnavas. And how do you cultivate faith? Then that's mentioned about time by Mahatsevaya. By rendering service, faith is generated. What is that verse? Shushu sho shadadan nasha vasudevakata ruchi shah mahatsevaya viprapunya titani shevanat. This verse is the beginning of the development of bhakti, a discussion of the development of bhakti by Sutta Goswami. This is the first verse. So he mentions this point that by Mahatseva, Mahatseva means what? Service to great souls. By Mahatseva, great service is done. And then from such seva, Shraddha is developed. He mentions this in the stages of development of bhakti. By seva, Shraddha is developed. And from Shraddha comes the desire to become surrender, Punya Tirtha. Punya Tirtha means a guru, because guru is also called as Tirtha. So the desire to actually become surrender to one of the sadhus is developed, Punya Tirtha. And from that surrender, shushusho, one becomes very eager for executing bhajan. And then when you execute bhajan with eagerness, then it counts for something. Simply going through the motions, like Maharaj has been chastising us, and now, without any eagerness, no eagerness to hear, no eagerness to chant, no eagerness, that will not be very effective application of Krishna consciousness. You're supposed to be eager and then hear. Eagerness and then hear. Otherwise, you will not benefit coming to the class with no eagerness. Oh, I got to sit through one of these again. All right. You know, and then, you know, posting up. And then as soon as Jai Radhamanava starts, boom, you know. Sometimes I have seen like that happens to some of us sometimes. Right at Jai Radhamanava itself, going on, this is happening. No eagerness. There's no benefit. Or simply sitting very, you know, pukka. But internally, we meditate on our own program, you know. This happens. This happens to me sometimes. Sitting very, because I don't generally sleep. I practice my whole first year practicing not sleeping in the class. So I'm good at just like sitting up straight, appearing to be paying attention. But mind will be thinking about my own little program, you know, this thing, that thing, this thing, on and on and on and on. And then the class would be over and I'll go, Jai. No benefit. So if we want a benefit, you're supposed to be eager. Eagerness, then hear. If you hear, chant, all these activities without eagerness, then no benefit. Hardly any benefit. Agato Sukriti, that's it. Agato Sukriti benefit, but not the real benefit. So this is mentioned here by Srila Prabhupada in the purport. We should be interested in getting out of the snares of the material clutches. And because we will not be able to do that on the strength of our own mental situation, we are bewildered jivas, full of bewilderment. And we are bewildered about whether we should sit down or stand up. You know, every little, I mean, littlest things we get bewildered by. Should I eat this or should I eat that? So sometimes you have a conviction, I will eat granola. We have this program. I'll eat granola. Then you go downstairs and you smell pizza. Then you get bewildered. What should I do? I mean, the littlest things causes great bewilderment for the conditioned soul. Ideas that we'd not be able to transcend the material ocean on our own merit. We need higher guidance from a higher plane. Then we can be benefited. So are there any questions? I'm finishing now. 20. Yeah, speaking to the mic.
Sorry, I was thinking about how powerful determination can be in rendering our services, and I was wondering if you have any practical advice on how to make determination more steady, so it's not like, okay, today I feel very determined, but tomorrow I'm back on the non-determined platform.
Well, I always learned that determination, like, okay, let's speak about it in the material field. When we're determined, suppose you want to get like some position in the material world, some nice job is required. In order to get that job, you require a certain type of education. So then you exhibit great determination in your studies and so on. Why? Because you really want the job. If you didn't want the job, how would you be determined? So determination is born of a desire for the goal that you claim to be wanting. So we say we want to go back home, back to Godhead, or we want to attain pure Krishna prema. So if we really wanted that, then spontaneously concomitant to that would be manifested determination. But the reality is that we want material sense gratification, generally, if we have to do a program of self-examination and non-duplicitously admit our situation, then we see that there's a stronger desire for material sense gratification. So it is that desire for sense gratification that weakens determination. Therefore, first instruction of Rupa Goswami is what? Vachro Vegam, Manasakrodha Vegam, Driha Vegam, Udarapasta Vegam. Why this verse mentioned first? It's described by Acharyas because without sense control, or in other words, without restricting sense gratification, you won't develop determination in bhajan. They described it as this. So therefore, sense control is mentioned first. We have to restrict the senses from their sense objects according to prescribed science, the prescribed spiritual science. Why? So that we can evolve a greater determination for the goal of life. Otherwise, our determination for the goal of life is right now arrested by desires for material sense enjoyment, strong desires for material sense enjoyment. Like that. Also, it's the understanding of for whom we're doing it for. You know, ultimately, are we doing it for Krishna, for Guru? If there is an affectionate tie with the Guru, with the sadhus, that affectionate tie can nourish profound determination, even despite my various anarthas. And without it, one may find it very difficult to just theoretically be attracted to the goal of life. It would be very difficult generally. So we need greater sangha, greater intimacy, greater cultivation of intimacy within sangha, because that that inculcates in the heart of a fallen soul the determination to achieve something higher, if not for myself, but out of service to this personality I'm attached to, like that. Luke, you want to say something? We have 5 minutes.
Hare Krishna. I had a couple questions on the topic of this internal, I guess, like finding so much fault with other devotees. One is, why do we do it? And then also, is it that it's something about the particular individual, or that as long as we have this tendency, anyone will do? You know, if I stop finding fault with this one, then I'll start finding fault with this one next, anyone like that. And then,
Krishna, just give me someone to find fault with here. Anyone will do.
And then finally, how to also like overcome this very big obstacle.
Well, fault finding, and the description given by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur of various categories of anarthas, one category of anarthas called Hridaya Durbalyam, which means weakness of heart. And in that category of anartha, he describes 4 divisions. The desire for recognition, pratishta, attachment to objects not related to Krishna, enviousness, and then our favorite one in discussion here, he mentions deceit and fault-finding together, interestingly enough. Because generally, like I mentioned in the class, we're showing externally very nice thing, but internally finding fault. So he mentions deceit and fault-finding in the same category, in fact. So the root cause of all anarthas is the bodily concept of life. That is the root cause of all anarthas. So who are we finding fault with? Generally, it's not the spirit soul, because we're not seeing spirit soul. Atmavan manyate jagat. We are perceiving others in the same way we perceive ourselves. So we perceive ourselves as material entities, products of the modes of nature. So also the tendency is projection. We're projecting onto other living entities also that they're their material bodies. So when we're finding fault with someone, who are we finding fault with? Actually, you're just finding fault with the material nature. You haven't even touched a living entity yet in your deliberations on their various faults. I've been speaking this thing last week also, same thing I've been focusing on a lot. Para swabhava karmani na prashamshati ninditi sa ashubhshate swartha asati abhinibeshata. I quoted this verse many times. The living entity should not praise or find fault with the particular psychophysical situation of the living entity. And if you do that, you'll become deviated from your real self-interest by becoming absorbed in the temporary. Asati abhinibeshita. So what are you finding fault with? Oh, I don't like the way his body looks. Oh, I don't like his attitude. Well, that's his psychology. Oh, he smacks when he eats. He's rude. He speaks loudly. Like sometimes someone may speak very loudly. Speaks very loud. Discussion be going on, you hear all the way from upstairs, very loudly speaking. So someone may say, oh, why are you speaking so loudly? It's because psychology is that only. So finding fault with that, but it has nothing to do with the spirit soul. So that means the root cause of all these anarthas is the bodily concept of life. So without overcoming the bodily concept of life, there's going to be tendency to give expression to these various anarthas that are there. Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma is required for Ma Bhaktam Labhate Param. For a pure devotional practice, then one has to actually transcend the influence of the bodily concept by cultivation of transcendental knowledge within one's heart according to the prescribed method. So that's how we get over it. We have to give greater interest to seeing things according to transcendental knowledge as received from Guru Parampara, our gurus, than giving preference to seeing things according to the naked eye. Srila Prabhupada's teaching in the Isha Upanishad that I always appreciated was that the devotee does not see with the naked eye, but rather sees according to spiritual sound that he's received from his gurus, Shabda Brahman. So unless we evolve our attraction to observing things according to the hearing process, then there will be no question of giving over this tendency. Because the naked eye is always finding the material faults, this material situation. Understand? It's the only hope is that we learn it. Just like when there's reversals in one's life, right? What is a reversal? A reversal means seeing according to the material situation. Right? Otherwise, there's really no reversal in the true sense, because Krishna is Suridam Sarvabhutanam. He's a well-wishing friend of all the jivas. So seeing according to transcendental vision means to see that the environment is totally friendly toward me. It is Krishna who is making all arrangements. This is a transcendental way of looking at it. But we're not attached to that understanding. So as there's some reversal, immediately lamentation comes, excessive lamentation. Why? Because we've seen according to the naked eye. This is bad, this is good, this is bad, this is good, this is bad, this is good. On and on and on and on and on. He is bad, he is good, he is bad, he is bad, he is bad, he is bad, he is bad. According to the naked eye, seeing like that. So unless we give preference to seeing according to the transcendental vision, Jnana Chakshu, Shastra Chakshu, you know, Divya Vakya, the transcendental words emanating from the lotus mouth of my spiritual master, then how can we hope to overcome the influence of the picture presented by the naked eye and then interpreted by the mind in a very particular way? So the hearing process, in the hearing process, there's all auspiciousness. We have to learn how to hear. Not only when the class is going on, which we don't do, but also when the class is not going on. That time, that is a real test of hearing. How much are we hearing after the class stops? Not this class. I don't mind, you know, I'm not a self-realized sage, so there's hardly any hope for any of the jivas listening to the class now. But at least when you hear from your gurus, then you have to practice hearing it after the class is finished, applying it, etc. Otherwise, no hope. But there's all hope if one can cultivate this inner hearing. There's all hope. Very difficult, though. So we have to stop here, because Nidhana Prabhu requested me to stop at 8:30. You can ask after the class. I would, of course, normally go on. I have diarrhea of the mouth, so generally I can go on. But I was requested to stop at 8:30 so the devotees can help out with the cut-up. Downstairs, everyone was requested to help out, and everyone was also requested to stay. Yeah, we need to make a schedule for pot washing. So when we go downstairs, you know, I guess Himanshu Prabhu, we'll make a schedule so that the pot washing doesn't get overwhelming. So at the end of the day, we are in a tight squeeze. Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
How's it going, bro?
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna.